Acts chapter number 17, you know, there's times in the Bible that we want to look for examples. We want to look like a pattern, something that's set for us to kind of follow. But we're going to talk about a group of people today that's not mentioned very much. They're called the Bereans. And what we're going to see is that Paul the Apostle, he says Thessalonica is it's a good church, but not too far from there was this place called Berea. And what he's going to say about these Bereans is that they were noble and that they searched the scriptures daily. We're going to catch that. Even though Thessalonica went through some problems, he had to send Timothy down there. You're going to notice one thing about the Bereans. They were noble. You ever hear the term, oh, they're a good Christian? Let me ask you this. Are you a noble Christian? Do you study the scriptures every day like the Bible tells us to? I know I don't. I'll be the first one to say it. But sometimes we need to dig a little deeper and find out why. So if you go to Acts chapter number 17, we're going to see a few things here. So verse number 1 says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and a chief woman not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying that they have turned the world upside down, and come hither also, whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there was another king, one Jesus. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into a synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Pay attention to that. And they received the word with all readiness of mind, and I searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, and not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had the knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we come here today, there's some things that we need to look at in your word, Father God. And one of the things that we should really look into is some examples. Some examples of what we should be doing today. And I know we have David, we have Joseph, we have so many people to look at. But Father God, we're going to talk about a group of people that were not only noble, but they searched the scriptures daily. What an example for us today. And I pray, Father God, that you put that zeal back in our hearts to follow the pattern that they had by following the scriptures daily. So I want to draw your attention to verses 10 through 13. This is a group at Berea. And it says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They searched the scriptures daily. Notice it said daily. It didn't say weekly. It didn't say monthly. It didn't say yearly. It didn't say every Sunday only. It said daily. What an example for us today as Bible believers. Why is that important? Because the question is, what do you search daily? The newspaper? The TV? Yeah, it's a tough thing to say, right? But oftentimes that's the problem, as we seem to get too caught up in other things than what the Word of God tells us to do. And so I think this is a great pattern for us to follow. I want to preach along those lines this morning. We have a church in Thessalonica. You read about them here. We have other churches. We talk about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we talk about Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea. We have those churches, but here we have a group of people called Bereans down to a little city about 60 miles southwest of Thessalonica. And it was a small area. Paul goes down to Berea after he preaches up in Thessalonica, and some things go good in Thessalonica, but some things go always bad. Isn't that kind of like the ministry? I was talking to Brother Mike this morning about the downfalls of some of the things that we see in our ministry. Sometimes right when you think that everything is going to be normal and everything is going to be perfect, something always seems to happen. But 2 Corinthians warns us, it tells us about the ministry. When you go through 2 Corinthians, you'll see that a lot of the ministry will have a lot of negative connotations or things that will happen that are out of your mind. We've seen it. I've done funerals. I've seen people take their lives and have to do that funeral. I have seen broken down marriages. I have seen children of people that I minister to run with the devil, and I have to sit there and try to give them a good explanation why. I can't. But here's what I can tell you. If they maybe would search the scriptures daily, they would know these things. I'm not here to pick in on anybody. I know I have a lot of work to do too, but there's always one common denominator when I'm preaching to people and teaching people is they get out of the Word of God. That always seems to run hand in hand. The Bible says to search the Scriptures daily. There's a reason for that. A lot of the people there, were belligerent, as we see later in the story. The Thessalonians, the unbelievers there, the Jews, they came and stirred up the people, and there are some problems. Boy, what another example for today. When we're out there doing a ministry, there's always the pot stirrers. There's always the ones that want to come in and disrupt what we're doing. All the time. And it always seems it happens when I'm trying to minister to somebody and get them close to making that decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always something, some kind of an interruption. It never fails. And like some of my instructors tell me, that's because you're doing something for God, Frank. So just continue to march. But we see that we don't find a book called Berea in the Bible or a letter that Paul wrote to the Bereans. And now that's maybe because it was so close to Thessalonica that they could just read their letter. We know that many times Paul makes reference to reading. He tells the Colossians to read the epistle to the Laodiceans and likewise. So maybe there's a case, or maybe the Bereans were such good Christians he didn't have to write a book and rebuke them, or get on to them about everything. So I tend to kind of think that nonetheless, the Thessalonians, we see were a good church, but the Bereans were, I think, a little better. They were called noble. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul said, "We give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of your prayers and remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and our Father." So the Thessalonians were a good church. We see that. But look at what he says in verse number 11 there. He said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." They were more noble. Did they have more money? Perhaps they were a little bit more prestigious. Were they more classy? Were they just better people? No. Notice what he's referring to. And that this is how they were more noble. They received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Daily. Whether those things were good, the Bereans were better. Thessalonians were good. You know, you ever go to a store and you see, like, maybe you want to buy a refrigerator or some kind of item. They got the real good one, they got the mediocre one, and they got the one that's probably going to break down in 6 months. So you just, okay, what's on sale? So you generally buy the middle one. Okay, but there's always that good one out there. And when he's using this example, I think that's what he's trying to say here. I think Paul is saying, like, man, these Thessalonians, they're good. They've suffered stuff for the Lord. But these Bereans, they were better. They were noble. They really searched the scriptures. They came down to hear me preach. They came down to hear the word of God. Boy, what an example for us today. I remember a couple times in our ministry when we used to do street preaching on Saturday mornings. I remember most of the time Saturday mornings I didn't want to get out of bed. I'd be laying there like, man, I really don't want to do this. I just want to stay home today. I don't want to. And my son would come on, like, come on, Dad, you know better. Yeah, yeah, you know, I'd pray a little bit, get up and go. And I found out that that was the most effective time that we were out there winning souls to the Lord is the day that I didn't want to go. And that's how important these verses are today about searching the scriptures daily. We need to put God first and follow the command he gives us. We go to God and we say, I'm here reporting for duty by reading your scriptures daily. It's important to be plugged into the word of God, not into this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2, what does it tell us? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is holy and acceptable to God? Is it the news? The newspaper, getting out of the word of God and just saying, well, I'm just going to run with the world and who cares what God has to say. But folks, I got to tell you, we got a lot of anemic Christians out there. They can't even tell you where the gospel is. And you're supposed to win someone to the Lord? That's hard. That's why the Bible says search the scriptures. So we look at these Bereans. We can learn from these people. What is it about these Bereans that Paul says, or actually Luke wrote, the book of Acts in the comments here makes a statement that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. But Thessalonians are good. You read the two letters that Paul writes to Thessalonians, they suffered persecution, what they believed, and Paul bragged about them. He says, look, we worried about you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 because what? He had to send Timothy down there because we didn't want them to labor in vain. So he sent some reinforcement there through Timothy. We knew that you were being persecuted. We thought you might just quit. But boy, even though they were persecuted for their faith, not just by the Jews, but by the pagans, they stayed in it. They were a good church, but the Bereans, they were something else. Paul says in 2 Timothy to fight the good fight and run the race and finish the race. You know what I find? I find mostly guys that have gone to school, that I've met other ministers, you know what I see? They run the race. They run out of that gate when they first get started. But what happens is after about a year or 2 years, they start to phase out. And you want to know why? Because that's when the problems come. Regardless whether it's the ministry or people, whatever the case may be, health, it doesn't matter. The Bible says to run the race and finish the race God has given you to run. Now, when you look at these Bereans, that's exactly what they were doing. They were set miles. I want us to look at this morning. I think that we follow people, and I think it's a good pattern to follow what the Bereans did. And at times, you have to follow people. You have to learn how to do your job when you start a new job. Maybe you're doing something new in life and want to learn how to do it. So you have to follow certain people. But there's a caution there. How far do we follow? How far do we go? You can follow bad people too. I've done that in my life where I think this is a good Bible-believing guy or a good Christian to follow, and I find out later down the road that's far from the fact. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We should look from people's bad mistakes, and hopefully we can avoid those mistakes as we see good Christians like the Bereans. We should say, what can I do? What kind of path can I go into and be like those noble Bereans? I know you can learn a lot, again, from the bad people, but I don't know if you can learn. There are some people that teach bad things, and you can pick those bad habits up. Sometimes people are just like chameleons. They change to their environment to please other people. I think that's a trip flare. I think when you see people that want to, when you see them around certain other people, you see how they change, how they adjust to the environment. We need to be careful with that. A Bible believer will stick to the Word of God. He'll stick to the standards that God gives us to follow and never deviate from the training plan of the King James Bible. The problem is we seem to see a lot more of that in Christianity. You might get into trouble if you just follow that what everybody else does. However, I think if we follow the Bereans here, I want to give you three things about the Bereans. The first thing I want you to notice is their decisive reception of hearing the word of God. They made a decision early, and they were ready with the word of God, not only to hear it, but apply it in their hearts. They wanted to hear the preaching of the word of God. They were willing. Their willingness involved. Now, there's some risk. Back in these days, remember, the Jews were persecuting Christians, so we have to understand that. But Paul goes in the synagogue. And we know that there's not just Jews there, but there are Gentiles there as well. But Paul, his first thing, what he would do, he'd preach to the Jews first. He'd go in, he'd go to the synagogue, and he goes in, back in that day, when you begin to preach about Jesus, the Jewish people saw that as sacrilege. Remember, the Jews put the Lord Jesus Christ on a cross for that reason, because they were scared that he was getting too much thunder from them, and they had to do something. So what happens? The Jews put a hit out on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we continue, Jesus claims to be God Almighty in the flesh. They said that he was an idol. That's what the Jews said. They convicted him of blasphemy. They persecuted believers. There's risk involved. There's also reflection involved. So you have risk and you have reflection. So the risk, of course, is trying to stand for your rights for you as a Bible believer compared to the ones that want to go against that. No different than the little issue I had at the last place that we were having our services at. But you know what? The Word of God is more powerful than any man on this earth. And I stuck to this book, and God opened up more doors for me when I stuck with His Word. That's the importance of this book. When someone listens to the Word of God, you know what happens? It's not just okay. I want you to listen to a little story about David, the little shepherd boy. He went around, he got some stones, put in a sling. He went up against Goliath. That's a cute little story, isn't it? We know over there in 1 Samuel 16 and 17. We like it. It's more than that. There's reflection because every one of us, we have giants in our life. We have giants that we need God's help with. Reflection means serious thought or consideration about something. You have some problems in your life. You have some sins in your life. And you need to go to those giants in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to bring them up to Him, just like David did, and God will deal with them. Do you see how there's reflection? It's not just a little story. Here's Eve. Remember Eve? She's talking to the serpent, and the serpent says, you know what? You need to educate yourself. Education is a great thing. You need to be something other than what God made you. You need to choose what you want to become. You can be as God's, just like fruit. Remember, he convinced her. He used what? Deception, denial, delusion with Eve in that garden over there. And what did she do? She became skeptical. And what did she do? Well, did God really say that? You know, the term I always hear. Well, how can God let that happen? How can God let this person die? How can God let this happen over here? Well, let me tell you something. God gives you free will. He gives you free will to either serve him or not, to believe or not. It's your choice. But when you go out and do something crazy, like the funeral I did the other day of the young man that died, he chose to do something crazy. And I got to sit there and look at his parents, and they're asking me, how can God let this happen? God gives you free will, folks. He gives you free will. Now you choose what you do with it. So he's sitting there talking to Eve, and exactly today in modern society, that's exactly what you happen. You quit listening to one voice, which is God's voice. For Eve, God's voice came through her husband. She quit listening, and she started listening to other voices. You better watch out who you're listening to. You better be careful what frequency you're plugging into. There's all kinds of frequencies running through this building right now. What are you tuning into? And I'll tell you what, these evangelists on TV and all this, you know, double blessings and all that kind of nonsense, I'm telling you right now, don't fall for that nonsense. Those charlatans will fleece their flocks and leave them poor while they have $20 million homes. Who does not see that? You know, you see in the modern age, we're so used to being entertained, changing scenes. Your eyes are made to watch any type of movement. It catches. You want to be entertained. Multi-million dollar movies and productions, sounds, and all those kinds of things. But when you sit and you listen to a guy preach for 20 or 30 or 40 minutes or 50 minutes, most Christians say, man, I can't believe he kept me in there that long. That's what they say. I'm like, man, come on now. Why did he? I can't believe you're so backslidden to enjoy going into overtime. You know, it's funny. We can watch sports, right? You can go to a baseball game and pay just for 9 innings, but if they go into extra innings, maybe you're there to the 15th or 16th inning, you're all excited because now it's free, right? Why is it we get upset when the pastor goes into overtime when he's preaching? That's how we should look at the Word of God. If someone's up there preaching the Word of God, look what these Bereans did. They would be out there for a long time listening to Paul and never once regretted it, never once griped about it. They stood right there. What an example for us today. What an example. When a, you know, and then they, and the people get so upset. I don't understand that. They get excited about the ball games, but man, when it comes to preaching, oh boy, or teaching, well, you know, I don't really have time for that. The Bereans, there was some work involved. You're going to study like the Bereans did. There's some work involved. You need, there's work on your part to be like they were. Now, amuse is what we're plagued with today. You know, there people try to amuse you. You know, this is not a multi-million dollar production up here. I'm not up here to entertain you. I'm up here to give you the Word of God the way Paul says to put it out there. Now, sometimes it comes across harsh. I get that. Sometimes you got to let off the throttle. You gauge your audience. And sometimes you go to different church houses, like I've been from Tennessee all the way up here preaching. And what I know is there's sometimes you can't preach the same thing to this church house and this one here because some people don't know about rightly dividing. But nonetheless, there are times you have to adjust the throttle to your audience. That's what preaching is. But I'm not an entertainer, and I can prove that to you because if I start singing right now, every one of you will run out of here. And that is a fact. But if you sit here and you look at that, look at verse number 13 there, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. If you turn your Bibles there, please. And the Bible says this, for this cause also we God without season, we thank God without season, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, look at Acts 17:13 again. Bouncing off of this, off of 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It said, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. You see that thing right there? I want you to notice a word there, thither. That word means that they came willingly. There was no trickery used to bring them in. Right? They came to hear Paul willingly. They came with a willing heart. There was no fleshly music, no laser light show, no free food to bring them in. When the Bereans came, they came willingly, not looking to be entertained. Wow, what an example for us today. And if you don't believe that's what that doesn't happen, I can assure you it does, because I visit church houses with the people that I work with in our ministry, and if you would just see the music and the stuff that shenanigans that go up on those stages, it is like a multi-million dollar production. And people just get entertained with it. So that's the danger. Notice it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. There's a readiness there. There's a willingness to receive the word of God. And there's also reward that comes. Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou creest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Christians, you got a Bible right there in your lap, right? That's a reward just in it waiting for you. There's rewards in that Bible waiting for you if you just open it up and do like the Bereans did and read it. If you have that decisive dedication to receive the Word of God, to take it in, to soak it in, that's a great pattern to follow. The Bereans wanted to hear. They were waiting to hear. They were willing to hear. Let me tell you something. It's a blessing to preach to people who want to hear. I've preached around a lot of places, a lot of different church houses, and there are times And it's amazing the response you get from people. It's like, wow, they're really excited about hearing something different. When you talk about rightly dividing, about the King James Bible, and it's exciting to see their eyes light up and how excited they get. Folks, when I'm up here preaching, this is a two-way conversation. It's not one way. When I preach and I throw the ball out, I like for the ball to come back sometimes. And maybe sometimes you don't want to say amen, then say ouch. But one way or the other, it's a two-way conversation. This is not a one-man show up here. And that's one thing we have to understand with pastors. It's not an easy thing to get up here and preach and teach and put a 4 or 5 point sermon together. There's a lot of work involved if you do it the way the Bible tells you to. It just doesn't happen overnight. So we have to understand it. I remember they'll say, bless me if you dare, Brother Frank. I like having some feedback. So again, you know, sometimes you like to hear that. But we're going to talk about, we see Nehemiah over there in chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. Records a meeting with the Jews they had when they came together to build the walls. They got the walls attached. They restored the city. The foundation had already been laid out earlier under Ezra, 14 years earlier. But Nehemiah comes and they have a big worship service. They get together in Nehemiah chapter number 8. This is what the Bible says. And he read therein before the street was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, the ears of the people who were attentive unto the book of the law. Aren't you glad I'm not sitting here going to keep you here to midday reading a book? But the fact of the matter is he stood up to read. And the people were listening. They were engaged. The Bereans wanted to be there. They had that fortitude to be there and wanted to listen to the word of God. They wanted it. They were willing. What an example for us today. We should be willing every time we walk in here to receive the word of God. They wanted to hear God, and that's a great trait. And let's look at the second thing. Notice, not only do we have a decisive reception of hearing the word, but we have a daily routine of studying the word. You thought you were going to get out on that one, huh? So God tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice workman is in that Bible verse for that reason. A workman works every day to accomplish whatever task is at hand. God is telling you, I want you to be a workman by studying my scriptures daily. And there's a reason for that, because when you study the word of God daily, it keeps you on this side of the hedge. It'll allow you to see the fakes and the phonies that are out there claiming to be pastors and all these tainted Bibles that attack the King James Bible. It'll set those trip flares off, and then you're going to know that this guy's either a cult or he's way out there. Run. Get away from him. That's what the Bible says. Verse number 11 in Acts 17:11, it says, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They had a daily routine of searching the scriptures. The period involved is daily. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6, give us this day our daily bread. That comes easy. I used to be a Catholic. And you think about that all the way back to the Old Testament when the Jews were in the wilderness. Do you remember when God supernaturally provided that manna? Well, that's what he's doing with his book for us today. He gives us this daily manna. All we got to do is open it up and read it. He gave them manna every single day, just enough. But there was so much they could collect. And then on the last day, he gave them enough. On Friday, he gave them enough to carry over on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath they were to rest. He gave them just enough. You know what the Lord wants to do, I believe? I believe he wants to have a daily routine, us to have a daily routine in his word. And I believe that's the manna that he can provide for us. The question is, are you hungry? Are you willing to receive it like the Bereans did? What an example for us today again. They were noble and they were willing. You got to have that. And they were receptive. That's how we have to be. I talked about frequencies and what are you receiving? Receive his word. That's why he says, you know, coming to church will help you tremendously. I believe that. Listening to preaching will help you tremendously. I truly believe that. But I think we underestimate the daily getting into the Bible. It will feed your soul. It will feed your spirit. It will build you up spiritually. It will instruct you in ways I can't come up here and instruct you. A daily routine. Give us this day our daily bread. How much Bible knowledge can we gain from seeing that? If you want to know about the Bible, the best way to know about the Bible is simply read it every day. It's that easy. Remember, the Bereans were called noble. That's a heck of a compliment coming from Paul the Apostle. I got to tell you, think about that. They displayed fine personal qualities when it came to learning the Word of God. They were in it daily. What a great pattern for us to follow today. How do you learn the Bible? I'll tell you how you learn the Bible. You read it every day. Did you know if you read your Bible for 10 minutes a day, you'll go through it at least once a year? 30 minutes a day, 40 minutes, you'll go through it two or three times a year. You read it an hour a day, you'll get through it five times a year. I mean, really, that's what the stats are. I'm not going to tell you how many times I've read the Bible. I've read it a few times. But I can tell you, there's still a whole bunch I don't know. Because there's so much in that Bible. I remember going to the Jubilee once and talking to one of the pastors down there. He's been a pastor for over 50-some years. And I remember him telling me, he goes, you know, Frank, I read the Bible every year, sometimes twice a year. And he says, but there's so much I don't know. And that's how the Bible is. There's just so much to learn. And God gives us that sometimes it's just hard to take it all in. But if we do it daily, a little at a time, just like you eat a sandwich, eventually you'll get to where you're somewhat comfortable. So when someone will ask you, where's the gospel in it, in the Bible, you'll be able to tell them. They'll ask you about the Pauline epistles, you'll tell them. About dispensations, you'll tell them. About covenants, you'll be able to tell them. And you'll be able to educate that person just from the sheer word of God that you've spent time in and learning it on a daily basis. I know we work, I get that. We all have jobs, we all have things that we get involved with daily. But I remember talking to another pastor, and he says the number one thing that he hears from his congregation is that people that come home from work, and the very first thing they do is open up the Bible and read it with their family, even if it's only two or three verses. He says, then we sit down and eat at dinner together as a family, and it is so calm to sit there and eat and talk about the Word of God than all this other world stuff that people bring in. What a blessing. What a blessing. That's what the Word of God can do. Sometimes, you know, you ask Christians about baptism, you know, or like I said, you just ask them some simple things about the Bible and they don't know. That's one of the things that I'm noticing in our ministry is that when I'm preaching and we're teaching, you'll get these other pastors from other areas that'll come in just to be with some of the people that are coming to our service now. And it's funny because they always try to put you on a spot. I love that. I love when people try to put you on a spot, go after you. That is like Dr. Peacock said, that means you're doing the right thing. Keep doing what you're doing. But one of the things that amazed me the most is I'll just let them carry on for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I'll just ask them some very simple questions about the Bible as a pastor that they should know. And they have no clue what I'm talking about. And you want to know why? Because they're in the wrong Bible, they're in the wrong doctrine, and they have no idea what they're talking about. But they're ready to come disrupt what we're trying to do. Again, that's why, like the Bereans, you got to be in the Bible daily. It's very important. The Bible says search the scriptures daily. It tells you, the Bible tells you how to be a husband, how to be a parent, tells you how to be a father. You know, it tells you how to be a friend, tells you how to be a good worker, tells you how to be a good boss, a good manager. It tells you about the pattern, a pattern of these things that you need to know. It's very important that we understand that. My son got a birthday card. I'm not going to tell you how, well, you're going to know how old he is here in a second. But he got a birthday card from his sister the other day. And on the card it says, as long as you can, hold it over your head. And on the outside of the card, it was a 44. So he held it over his head for a few minutes. And I'm like, I told him, I said, you're looking kind of silly. What are you doing? He goes, well, that's what the card said on the cover. So he looks at it. And he brings the card back down. It said, well, at least for a while, you were still under 44. So my son said, you know, Dad, the only thing over me is a King James Bible. Glory to God. When your son can sit there and look at you in the eyes, it hits you right in the heart. That's a heart check for me to let him say a comment like that, because it is about being in the scriptures in the King James Bible. God, you know, I can give you some advice and some counsel to the best of my ability, and I know I have a position in the leadership of the ministry God gave me, and those kind of things, but I'm not your final authority. The Bible is your final authority. The King James Bible is your final authority. And do we make mistakes up here? You're doggone right we make mistakes. Not anybody's perfect, and we won't make mistakes. But it's all about the intent. I'm not up here trying to sell anything or recruit you. That's not my point. My point is to give the Word of God the way Paul told me to give it. And that's what I'm trying to do. But again, the final authority here is this Bible. That's why you need to check everything off this Bible. I don't care who's speaking. You need to bounce it off that Bible. Again, 2 Timothy tells us to study to show thyself approved. The proving, there's proving involved there. They didn't dismiss something because they simply had never heard it before. A lot of times, hindrances and preconceived notions or opinions or pride, oftentimes it's traditions of men and people. We saw that in Colossians chapter 2. Talk about the traditions of men and philosophy and education. It's not about that. It's about the true Word of God and being in it daily. And the only way you're going to spot it is if you're deeply rooted in the Word of God, you'll be able to spot those kind of things. Psalms 1:1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doeth he meditate day and night." Did you catch that? Day and night. Isaiah 34:16 says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." John 5:39, this is the one I love to use on Catholics. The Bible says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they that which testify of me." Jesus says, "Search the scriptures." You see that? He said, "Search the scriptures." There's a reason for that. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, that's the only Bible, the only verse in the Bible that actually commands you to study the Bible. "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And finally, not only do we have a decisive reception of hearing the word, but a daily routine of studying it. But they have demonstrative results. They have demonstrative results of spreading. Look down at Acts chapter 17 and notice in verse number 12 there again. It says, "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." In other words, there are a lot of them there. So they had some results from spreading the Word of God. And when you think about the idea is you take it and then you give it out. That's what we do. You take it and you give it out. You learn it. You learn about salvation. You learn about the Pauline epistles and then you give it out to somebody that needs it. That's why God says to study the Word. How are you going to give something out if you're not taking anything in? Junk in, junk out, right? But if we study the Word of God, we can grasp what God has for us and then get excited about it because you can share it with somebody. And like we've seen in the ministry we do, there are times I've shared things with men in our ministry and I thought it was going to be a dead end. And 6 or 7 months down the road, they come receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the importance of understanding the Word of God, understanding how to put it out there, how Paul tells us how to put it out there. So if we, you know, we have to understand that not only do we receive it and not keep it for ourselves, but we share the word. It's very important we see that. There's a lot of Christians that are just taking it in. You know, it's not flowing. It's stagnant. The idea is that you receive it with all readiness, but then you tell somebody, you spread the word of God, you give it out. You know, don't forget the one reason the Lord left us here, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See that? God left you here to serve him, to spread his word, to be about his business. And when you take it in, you know what happens? It should fill you up, and then you should spill over with it. It flows over. It's a natural thing. And you see the natural results here from our text. Some believers, in verse 12, he says, not a few. That means there were a lot. There was a sermon outline from a Christian, a Christmas card in front of it. It said, "Here comes where he's welcome." You open it up, and it says the innkeeper made his stable available. Jesus was born there. Mary and Martha made their home available. Jesus resided there. The merchant made the upper room available. Jesus supped there. The wealthy man made his tomb available. Jesus was buried there. The believers make their hearts available. Jesus lives there. If you're saved, Jesus lives in you. So you have the results there. James chapter 1 says, I receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save your soul. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. You can't separate the one from the other. The word of God goes out. You hear about Jesus Christ because of the word of God. You receive the word of God. And you make a choice to either trust Christ or not. There are a lot of people that believe in God, and we see that. We see quite a bit in our ministry. They have God up here. They don't have Jesus in here. See a lot of that. And you try to educate them. You try to make them understand that whatever they grew up in, whatever cult they were in, to leave that alone, get the right book, and make them understand it is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say to add anything to it. They might even believe that Jesus Christ lived and he died on a cross. They might even believe he rose again from the dead. But they have not secured their eternal address in heaven. Because of what reason, I don't know, honestly. Because no one's guaranteed tomorrow. You know, you say, well, I got to have surgery. I got to have surgery. I got to meet with the anesthesiologist and the surgeon. Remember that little paperwork you signed? Saying, hey, if something happens, it just happens. You trust them enough, but do you trust the Word of God? Do you spend enough time in it, in the Word of God? That's the key here, folks. You have to understand these things. As many received him, to them he gave you power to become the sons of God. Even to those who believe in his name. Some believed in Acts 17:13. Some were belligerent. See it all the time. You got the ones that want to be there and here, and you got the disruptors. The ones that want to come in and irritate you and start problems. We deal with that in our ministry, and we also handle it on the spot. I had to learn that. But there is ways of doing it. And unfortunately, you think that they're there for the right reasons. But let me tell you something. There's also, they bring people in to try to disrupt what you're trying to do, especially when you're in the right book. You see it. Some people, you know, like I said, some people believe, some people don't. Some people want to come in to stir stuff up. But there's a way you can deal with those things. Number one, be in the Word of God. Number one, two, make sure the Word of God is reflective to you. When you open up this Word of God, it is like a mirror. And God is, you're looking at the words, and those words are looking in you, and that Bible's reading you as you read that Bible. And the Bible says in Hebrews that it's either going to cut you or make you sharper. You choose. But if you're in it daily and you come with a meek and contrite spirit, when it comes to the Word of God, he will get you through it. If you were to die today, how would that affect the kingdom of God? How would that affect somebody getting the gospel? Would it affect any? Would there be any hole left? You see, I think the Bereans, they looked at things seriously and they took it in and they gave it out. Even the Thessalonians, you read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, they took the Word of God and they put it out. That was a good pattern to follow. Are you receiving the Word of God today? Are you routinely studying the Word of God? And are there any results in your life? I'm not just saying to be, I'm not a fruit inspector, folks. The relationship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ is between you and him. But sometimes we have to be reflective. Sometimes we have to look and say, okay, let me take some inventory. Okay, Frank, take some inventory. How much time have you spent in your Bible, Frank? You're up there preaching. How much time are you in the Word? How much time are you really taking the Word of God seriously? Oh, football's on. You know, I love football. So, but how much time do I spend? And when I hear that football, I got to shut the TV off and get my nose back in the book. The results aren't like they should be. Maybe it's time for us this morning to say, you know what I need? I need to look at a pattern here. I need to look at a system these Bereans were doing and pull from that and plug it into our hearts and say, I need to be noble and I need to be in the Scriptures daily. Not weekly, not monthly, not every Sunday when I go to church, but daily. It's very important we understand that. I need to find some people who are getting the right kind of results like the Bereans. And I need to start to do some things differently. There's a point to a sermon. I hope we can leave here better than we came in. Maybe make a decision this morning. You know what? I'm going to start being ready to hear the Word of God. Maybe make a decision this morning to develop a routine. Sometimes, you know, you see these people at the beginning of every year, I'm going on diets. And, you know, and the biggest thing is they got to go. It's a change of lifestyle. And sometimes we have to change our lifestyle to read the book every day, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon or whenever you can get it in. But you got to plug into this book, folks. It literally changed my life. I mean that. And I'm just letting you know, you got to be in this book. It will change your life in a way you've never saw it, and you will be able to reach those people out there that need to be preached to and need to be led to the Lord. Maybe there's someone you need to invite to church. Give them a gospel track. You never know how the Lord might use those kinds of things. He used the Bereans. You don't hear much of the Bereans. You know, you don't really hear much of them. But when you see how noble and how willing they were to come hear Paul preach, it's what an eye-opener it is for us today. So at this point in time, I'll go to the Lord in prayer, but that was my message today. Thank you for the audience. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today, and I pray, Father God, if there's any of us here today that need to be like the Bereans, pull that pattern from them, Father. Pull that example from them, and be in that Bible on a daily basis. I pray, Father God, that you would, through the Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and help them understand the importance of that. I thank you, Father God, for this church house. I thank you for our pastor. I pray for our pastor that he gets back safely, Father God. Father God, I pray this prayer in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.